listening to the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live the lifted life. Tell them what they won, Sylph.
What they won, episode number 18. Yay!
What's it about?
Welcome to the show, everyone. Episode 18 is all about getting out of your own ding dang way. You ever been in your own way before, Tim?
So, probably, but...
Only every day.
Only every day.
You and me both.
So, whenever... This is the problem I have with this saying, is that it sounds like... To me, it sounds negative. Like, you know, I would have done that, but I was in my own way. I would love to walk over there and do that, but, you know, there's things in my way, and it's me. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the decisions I made got in my way. Mm-hmm. So I know it's the same thing in semantics, but for me, it's like it sounds like an excuse. Like, well, I, you know, I could have walked over there, but it was in my way.
Not something else is in your way. You are in your own
way. I understand,
but
to me, like that saying is not owning that you're taking responsibility. You're saying that, you know, I could have done it, but there was this thing in my way. That's how I take it personally. Right. That's my relationship with that saying.
Right. I only disagree about 100%.
So my example of how I get in my way is in social settings. I'm not this social. I usually hide and I work my way to the back of the crowd and sneak out.
You have a solid story that you're awkward and that you don't do well with it. And you've told that story so often that you believe it.
Yes, that's the thought loop that I get in.
Right.
So that's how I get in my way, which I have now realized that that's a belief that I have told myself over time, a story I've told myself that I'm going to no longer tell.
Don't tell that story. good stuff. I also get in my own way, but it's not as obvious what mine are.
I thought I got in your way.
No, that would be not taking personal responsibility, see?
Dang.
So I believe that I do this too because I'm human. And what's hard is it's not always quite so obvious for me. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing all these things. I'm a busy mom. I'm doing this, 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 and this. And, you know, I'm doing plenty. I'm doing all these things. And yet when we're really honest with ourselves, it's not about doing all the things. It's about what are the most important things that we can be doing to live the kind of life we want. So for me, I was kind of getting in my own way by not doing things that I knew in the back of my mind could really help our business. So maybe believing a story that I didn't have enough time to do those things, or believing that maybe it wasn't that impactful. For example, if we're wanting some specifics, within the Lifted brand, I had in the back of my mind known that I needed to reach out to some influencers instead of just me continually posting about our products and our probiotics. I knew that it would be beneficial to reach out to some other influencers.
But people. What was the story you were telling? Like why? What?
I mean, right. There was this, there were, I mean, that's the point. It's so subtle that there's not like, don't do it. It's just like, well, I could do that, but.
But then it's always a story, right?
Right.
So like, I know what you mean by subtle. Like you didn't feel like you were just sitting around like, I want to do it, but these are the reasons I can't.
Right.
It was so subtle that you're like, I'm just not getting to that.
But
right
for some
now.
Reason I wasn't doing it. And yet I knew it could be an exponential move for us.
To me, that's just what's always so fascinating is that it's always a story. It always goes back to you and what you think. But when it's underlined like that and it's so subtle, you wouldn't have called it a story. I wouldn't have called it a story. But when you break it down and think about it, it's always a story.
The thing that was kind of beautiful about this too was that I was it's all good. I was actually talking to a coach about this. I was recently on, I recorded a podcast episode on the Biz Women Rock podcast, and I was able to do a live strategy session with Katie, and she basically said, "Well, why don't you do that?" And I was just like, I know I need to do it. You want to see all these things I am doing? I'm writing blogs. I'm doing podcasts. I'm a mom. I'm a really good mom. Let me tell you how good of a mom I am. These are all the things that take my time and my attention. And I told her, I said, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing this thing called the back pocket technique. So basically I have in my back pocket this really cool thing I could do. And I am not using it because then when I take it out of my back pocket, I no longer have it in my back pocket. But I immediately corrected myself because even just saying it, I truly believe that when we use whatever's in our back pocket, the universe fully replaces it as quickly as we take it away, right? Like we have to trust the process of more ideas are coming to me, more strategies will come my way if I put these into action. But so the story is probably one of lack. In some capacity, we tell the story of not enoughness, mm-hmm. whether it's not cool enough, not confident enough. Those aren't really mine. Mine are, I don't, not enough time exactly to execute all these things that matter to me.
You ever heard it explained that there, everything's in abundance? Like you can literally get abundance of everything, but you don't think about it that way. Like it feels like there's a limit. Like, isn't there always a limit? But I think there's some that would argue that that's not the case, that there's always abundance.
Right.
And like I would you're say, about taking out your thing out of your pocket, there's just more going to come. Like,
yeah.
Once you start that flow, right. More is going to come. More is going to come.
Totally
the
agree.
The law of momentum, it's just going to keep coming.
And don't you think when it comes to this podcast title episode topic of getting out of your own way, why are we in our own way? It's a lack of trust, a lack of trust in the abundance of goodness that is out there for us. To some capacity, we are in our own way because of a lack mentality, a scarcity mindset that says there's not enough time, money, resources, energy, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? What do you think?
Yeah. I think, like we said, you know, it's always a story that's...
But so often it's a subtle story. How do you get to the root of the belief that's in your way? I don't think it's always just this blaringly obvious thing.
Yeah, you got me stumped here.
I mean, I have some ideas.
About me?
No, about how to do it.
Oh, how to get out of your own way? Well,
this is where you say, okay, sweetie.
Oh, babe, ahead. Please tell me your ideas. But I have one come.
Okay, like, great.
You stumped
everybody.
Me for a second. Let's see, do I have it?
Did you lose it again?
I probably lost it again. You go ahead and I'll do mine next.
Okay, so how do we pinpoint these subtle beliefs that are blocking us, that are making us get in our own way? And how do we get out of our own way? And that, to me, it is all about our beliefs. And I think on some level, we have these beliefs that we don't always even know. They're just kind of programmed. They're in our cells. It's in our way of being. And so in order to have maybe a shift happen or to alleviate some of those beliefs that aren't serving you, it can help to list out what you want to believe. I want to believe I live in an abundant universe. I want to believe I'm divinely guided and protected. I want to believe there's plenty of energy and money and resources and all these good, yummy things. So then you take a look at what you want to believe and then you get honest with yourself and say, okay, is this what I believe? No. When it comes to this, I can see how I kind of believe maybe there's not quite enough money, or the money doesn't grow on trees, or there's not an unlimited amount of energy because, you know, I need sleep and I have all these things to do. But you can see how from looking at what you do want, you can be a little more honest with yourself about the story you've been telling that maybe is on the other side of that coin.
So I've done those lists before that you're saying to make a list of what you want. And for me, that the first time I did it was really hard. Like if you walk up to someone and say, what do you want? They just kind of freeze. And then if they give you an answer, it's usually what they don't want. And for some reason, it's really, or I'm speaking for myself, it's easier to make a list of what you don't want. So what I had to do was make the list of what I don't want. And then what I do want is the opposite of those. And then I was able to make my list of what I want. But I agree with what you're saying is, once you make the list of what you want and then you focus on that and you think about that all the time and don't think about what you don't want because you don't want it. You can just ignore it.
Release
and,
that. Right?
Yeah. And allow what you do want. And I think that's what you're saying. That's one way to get out of your own way and stop that loop and that habit of thinking about stuff that you don't want.
I call it the don't want epidemic. We think that it's a tricky, it's like the mind's like, no, I'm telling you what I don't want because I'm telling you all these things that I, you know, I'm telling you what I don't want because it helps me get to what I do want. It's like, no, it's not that way. You're putting out there more of what you don't want. And so I would say that's an amazingly, blaringly obvious way that we get in our own way is by continually talking about what we don't want.
But being able to know what you don't want is a survival technique, right? So your body... It's a way how we survived in the old days when there was dinosaurs or whatever the hell.
Bears.
Whatever was going to eat us. Because if you were able to prepare for the worst case scenario, you survived. So you knew, I don't want this. I don't eat that poisonous thing. I don't want to be around this. And that was useful for us at one point in our evolution. But I think by now we don't need to do that.
Right. So instead, you kind of shift that programming and say, I am intentionally looking for what I do want.
Which is also with the law of attraction.
Right. Okay. Right. What you talk about, you bring about. Yep. What you focus on, you get more of. What you appreciate, appreciates.
That's right.
Always saying the same awesome stuff. But you can get out of your own way by refusing to continue that story of the don't want epidemic, which is, here are all the things I don't want, but really, here's what I do want, but I only spent 10 seconds talking about that. It's like when people, for instance, they want to complain and complain and complain. And like, you know, I've found that a lot of people don't typically want to complain to me because I'll say something like, oh my gosh, that sucks. What are we going to do about it? What's the solution?
Yeah.
What's the game plan? What's the strategy? And I get all revved up because I love.
Find the solution.
Yeah. Solution focused thinking, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's easy. If you've been practicing thinking one way but not the other, then it takes practice to shift your way of processing information. It takes practice to decide I'm going to look for solutions. Anytime there's a problem, I'm going to see it as a project and I'm going to begin to think of this differently.
I think also in my experience that I tend to beat myself up. Like I feel like I know better. And then when I catch myself in the thought loop, I'm like, dang it, you're doing it again. You know better than this. And then start that loop going and that momentum going, and you're human. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to get in these loops and it's going to happen. But the quicker you identify it and you're aware of it, you can break the loop. And just the fact that you notice that you're in the loop, you did it, break it, stop thinking about it.
Right. The rebound time, the awareness is seconds or minutes compared to what maybe used to be hours or days. So yeah,
like perfection's a destination, not,
wait, what?
That's not right. No, I was on it. I almost had it. No,
we don't.
No, perfection is a place that you strive to, but you never reach.
I do not strive towards perfection ever. That's the most disgusting concept I've ever heard.
No, but what you're saying is like, don't do this. And everyone's like, yeah, I shouldn't do this. And I say, I shouldn't be in these loops. Then I catch myself in it. I'm going to get in the loop.
Right.
I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to break this pattern. I'm always going to get in the loop. But the shortest I can make the loop is the best.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I just want to say that basically I don't aspire towards perfection. Maybe it shows. That's fine. I put myself out there. I fail a lot. I fail forward. And I think perfectionism is a disease. So I don't want to catch it.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not a perfectionist. In fact, some things in my life are crooked and perfectionists walk up to me and be like, what's going on here? And I'm like, look, I don't know.
You need to experience true level, then you'd understand.
Something like that. So why else do we get in our own way? What do you think? Do you have something that comes to mind? Because I have a couple more notes here, but if you have something, you're like, yeah, here's how we get in our own way.
Man, I just dropped all I got.
So I think that a lot of times we lack emotional responsibility and we haven't fully owned up to the kind of life we want. So we don't have clarity about what we really want. And we instead aspire to these things that were planted in us, maybe from a young age, maybe from our parents still currently, maybe from a spouse, about how much money we should earn and how much, what kind of lifestyle we should live and what kind of occupation makes you, you know, status worthy. And I think that we get in our own way when we refuse to be honest with ourselves about what really matters to us.
Okay, so let me try this on you. I would, at one point in my life, would say, what I really want is my kids to behave.
To behave?
Yeah. Or, okay, I want them to be good. Put it that way. Be good.
Be good? What do you mean?
Come on.
Be good kids?
Yeah. I didn't say today. I said it's one point in my life.
No. I'm just really trying to get clarity around, like, a lot of people like, I just want my kids to be happy and healthy.
Yeah, I want those things. But one thing is, like, I think one thing I would focus on is we go out in public. They need to be good. They need to be presentable. They need to be all these things. And I think that's something I would say that I wanted. But then when you look back on it, I don't really want that. I just don't want to be judged for it. So that's not really what I wanted. What I wanted is not to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a step back and you're like, I shouldn't really care. I don't care if people judge me. So then that goes away. And then what I truly want is my kids to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was going, self.
No, I just was kind of...
Because your kids are our kids. My kids are your kids.
But even that, the like, mama I want bear my
popped
kids
out, like, don't you dare say our kids
I want my
good.
Kids to be happy and healthy because it makes me feel good, because then my mind's at ease and I can see how I'm just telling a story.
Yep.
But I think it's really interesting, this whole, like, if my kids just behave, then I can, you know, relax and be happy because of what we make that mean. So a lot of times getting in your own way is a lack of clarity of what's really going on in the
world. I guess
world.
where I was going was, like, thinking about going out to eat in the old days and then thinking, like, man, they act a fool, you know, and they're gonna make me look bad. And, like, the story that
I'm
gets
so embarrassed.
Yeah, the story gets going, and then it's like, well, why are you even thinking that? And it's because of some outside judgment that I'm worried about, and that, and I don't so, truly want that. Like,
isn't it so funny? So our kids are 7 and a half and almost 10, and so we've really rounded a corner where generally we can have a pretty good time if we go out to eat.
Yeah.
But there definitely was a time where it was harder, right? Like, they would just, like, be squirmy and they, like, wanted to run, and they would just run up and down, and you'd be like, huh, you kind of look around and, like, kind of try to gauge the audience. Like, are we at a place where we run up and down places or not? Do we need to go outside and run it out? I mean, there is a time where it's just more difficult to go into a public place where, you know, there's a vibe that's going on. Mm-hmm. But whether or not it's our judgment to feel is a whole nother thing. I think that this judgment thing, it comes up a lot for you, like other people's opinion of you.
I think it's a story you're telling.
I think it's a story you're telling. You got to get out of your own way.
Oh.
We all do. I think this that when it comes to getting out of our own way, it's what is the story we're telling, which keeps us stuck, which keeps us in our own way. And so my point was about having clarity of what you really want. Not just being given, for instance, the idea, hey, kids should behave and not act up. That was probably a story given to you from childhood. And so you then need to decide, I need clarity around what's important to me for my kids now. And why does it matter to me, and not just a belief that's been handed to me?
Well, I think the thing that triggered it, you said emotional
responsibility.
Emotional responsibility. So when you said that word, that's the first thing I thought of was, of that situation. So I wonder why that triggered that.
I don't know. I was thinking more like you are a banker, and that's because your parents always, you know, you could get a real good job, be a banker or something. And you're like, yeah, I like numbers. And then it's like, yeah, I like a lot of other things too. Maybe I don't want to be a banker.
Yeah.
And so getting out of your own way might look like clarity around, is this what I really want, or was this what was given to me?
But this is something that you've always been comfortable with. Like, I'll be a banker for a while, then be like, you know, I'm done being a banker. I'm going to go be a
baker.
No, I'm a baker. Yeah. Like, that's something that you've always been comfortable with. And that's, for some reason, that's something I've been really, it's been hard for me. Like, nope, I made up my mind. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what I do the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But No one ever said that you have to do the same profession.
Right.
Maybe in Europe you have to, but in America,
generally speaking, yeah, it's interesting. So we get out of our own way by being fully aware of the stories we're telling, and then we evaluate them and decide, do I want to continue to believe this? I just posted on our Instagram and our Facebook about the power of belief, and there's a lot of talk about the importance of positive thinking, but if you don't have belief beneath the thinking, then the thinking is just a bunch of noise, whether it's verbal noise out in the world or just mental noise in your head. Just thinking positive thoughts is not enough, because if there's not a belief fueling it, then it's not really going to last. So when it comes down to it, it's all about, what do I think and believe about myself? And a lot of people don't know. I think that it requires a level of self-awareness and a level of interest and a passion for digging deeper so that you can continue to grow and get out of your own dang way.
But something on that, you know, I used to have trouble with that, or I probably still do. But when you say, well, what's your beliefs? I think I always felt like once you say your beliefs, it's set in stone. It's the Ten Commandments. They haven't changed in 2,000 years, I don't know when the Ten Commandments came out, but the Constitution hasn't changed. I should work on my facts before I start throwing out dates. But anyways, I've always felt like, well, once you set your beliefs, those are your beliefs. But they can change, right?
So that's what's interesting. Pause the game. You have a belief that once you set a belief, you have to stick with it. And I have a belief that variety is the spice of life. And if you're not evolving and growing and changing, then what are you doing anyway?
Well, how about this? If your belief's serving you, use it. And when it stops serving you, get a new one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I do all the time.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I always say it's a blessing that I haven't changed my mind about you. We're coming up on 18 years together, which is wild sauce.
That is crazy. I don't know how you haven't killed me in 18 years.
Whatever. So.
Is it a blessing or a lesson?
That's right. It's either a blessing or a lesson. And with you, there's a lot of both. So, anyway, we hope this episode was useful for you because we sure had fun doing it.
I had fun.
Yeah. So, thanks a lot for tuning in. Come find us on Facebook, facebook.com/liftednaturals. Or find us online, www.liftednaturals.com.
What about the gram? Are we on the gram?
We're on the gram. That would be instagram.com/liftednaturals.
What about the LinkedIn? Are we the on link, that?
You know, that's a... I started to play around on that. Yeah. And I have my personal profile, Sylvia Hall. And then additionally, I think I set up a page for Lifted, but it works a little different than Facebook, so...
I just realized it's fun to put you on the spot. I'd be really pissed if it was the other way around.
So. But I can handle being on the spot.
You can. You're good at it.
But anyway, thanks a lot for tuning in. Have a magical week. We appreciate you.